Good morning and good coffee, everybody. Hey, it's time for some morning coffee with Larry, and I'm glad that you are here joining with me today for a nice hot cup of Joe. Although mine's a little bit not so hot. Sitting here for a little bit this morning, waiting to start the podcast. But hey, glad that you are here today. It is Thursday, the 20th or is it the 21st? It is the 21st of September. Gosh, we're two-thirds of the way through. And we just had a little bit of rain here this morning. Dog got me up at, goodness, what time was it? About 4:30. And it was raining, but I haven't heard any rain for a while. So I think it's supposed to be off and on again this morning. So that's just a good excuse to do more indoor stuff and not so much outdoor stuff. Well, tell you what, we are continuing in the series on the book, The Triumphant Marriage by Neil Clark Warren. And so we are going to just dig right into that. And we are on secret 6 out of 10. And this one is titled, Learn to Talk. Become masters of good communication. And you know, there's a word there in that little subtitle that I think is real important when it comes to marriage and all the different skills of marriage. And that is masters. Become masters at it. You know, we know a lot of different things as we go through life. But you know, it's important for certain things to really become good masters of them. You know, there's a jack of all trades and master of none. Yeah, it's a cute saying. And yes, there's some benefit to knowing a lot of things. But there's some stuff you really want to become very good at. And really, any of these traits would fall under that. You want to become a master of it. But, you know, I would say my pet skill that I like and I appreciate the most, and you never really become, you know, what is it? You never reach your end goal. You're always improving, and that's communications. When I went to college at Eastern Illinois University, my minor was in communications. I had learned in high school how to do public speaking. And when I went to college, one of my classes, my first semester was the public speaking class. And I got a lot of praise from my teacher, a lot of encouragement, which led to me making that the minor for my bachelor's degree. And when you learn certain skills with communication and really learn to master them, you develop confidence. You know, there's good kind of confidence and bad kind. But I'm telling you, you learn confidence. You know that skill set. And when you appreciate it and respect it, that can really, really help you in a lot of different situations. Now, when you come to a marital relationship, there's an extra monkey wrench in there. And that is because of the nature of the relationship, emotion comes more into that skill set than it does in other settings. You know, I love public speaking. I can go and speak in front of a crowd of, you know, most sizes and not have any problem because I really don't have a strong emotional attachment there. You know, whenever I'm trying to teach clients new things, you know, there's, you know, I care for my client. That's why I'm there. I want to see the best for my client, but there's also what I always called a professional distance. I'm not going to get, you know, I'm not a part of their life, you know, other than in the counseling session. But when you're talking about marriage, it's different because you are emotionally involved. You are emotionally invested. It's not a short-term or temporary relationship. It's supposed to be a lifelong relationship. And, it, you know, where when a client stops seeing me, that really doesn't, you know, make the world come to a stop. Because, you know, the type of relationship that is a professional relationship. But when a marital relationship ends, your world is ripped apart and torn upside down. So communication is different. The skill set may be similar, but the application can sometimes be very challenging because you got a lot of other factors, or you could say interference, that comes into play. So getting back to the title, Learn to Talk, Become Masters of Good Communication. If there's one thing that couples do that easily screws up things and leads to fights, it's issues of communication. How a couple may agree on things, but how they communicate around that topic either works well or it's a disaster. The idea of learning to master communication and master skills will do several different things. One is it will help improve your marital relationship. Another thing is it will allow the two of you, if you're both working on good communication skills, respecting communication, not just taking it in a flippant way, not just automatically assuming, but, you know, taking care with it, it's going to allow you to have a deeper level of intimacy, which is, you know, what's important in a relationship. And so, you know, when you, in a third one, if you have children, guess what skill set they're going to see as a default skill set? They're going to see yours. They're going to see how you and your spouse communicate. They're going to see how their parents communicate. And now that becomes the default. That becomes the standard that they have in their lives. If they see couples fighting all the time, guess what? That becomes the new norm. That's their default. So there's some key things here that Neil Clark Warren talks about. And how, you know, communication is simple, but it's so hard. Maybe what we need to do in kind of touching base a little bit on this topic is, let's define communication. What is it? What is communication? We use the word a lot, but do you ever think about what's the definition? You kind of, it's this, it's talking. Well, it's more than just talking. You can talk to your kid and know that not a thing is getting through at times. The way that I learned what communication is a good operational definition, is two simple words, mutual understanding. You see, I've got thoughts in my head, and I want you to understand those thoughts. And so when I communicate in a way that results in you having an accurate understanding of what I have up in my head, we have now done communication. Some communication is verbal. The majority of communication is nonverbal. So verbal means you're talking. You've got a message. You know, written words on a page is verbal communication. It's verbal communication. It's written. You could say it's visual communication, but it's verbal communication because it's words. However, there's parts of that that can be the nonverbal. But let me tell you about the main nonverbal communications. Think of yourself face to face with someone. They're saying a sentence. Okay, you got that communication, but what are the things they did with the sentence? How did their tone, their volume, their inflection, how does that all come to play? An example I would use is, I could say the same words two different ways and it has two dramatically different meanings. For example, I look down at your feet and I go, I like your shoes. Okay, seems straightforward. I like your shoes. But what if I change my inflection? I like your shoes. Okay, does that sound a little bit more sarcastic? Does that mean that I don't really like your shoes? So your words can, you have other means of communication outside of just the words. You can also, and if you're in face-to-face communication, besides just the tone, the speed, those kind of things with the words, what's the facial expression? What's the body movements? How are people holding themselves in their, you know, where are they looking at with their eyes? All that has an additional part to play with communication. A lot of times in a counseling session, I'd be listening to the person's words, but I'm watching how their nonverbal communication is, because sometimes that tells me that there's, you know, more that needs to be looked at. It tells me, are you being truthful or do I have suspicion that you're not being truthful? And guess what? When you're talking with your spouse, nonverbal communication is also coming to play. You can have the right words, but is it really the right tone? Is it the right, you know, nonverbal stuff? Different people who do research say anywhere from 80 to 90% of the face-to-face communication is nonverbal. And only 10 to 20% is the actual words we're saying. Here's another thing that, when I was in college, wasn't a thing. But boy, has it become a thing now. And that is texting. And when you text, all you have is a written exchange back and forth. However, what happens if somebody texts in all capital letters? That's viewed as shouting. That's viewed pretty well universally as the other person, you know, the person who's texting is upset and they're yelling at you. There was a medical doctor that I worked with several years ago, and whenever they sent an email, they used a lot of, you know, sentences being all capital letters. I guess they thought, well, if I put the caps lock on the keyboard, then, you know, they're going to see my words, you know, from their own or something. But somebody eventually told the doctor, you're doing this wrong because everybody's taking it as you're upset with them and shouting at them because you're using cap lock. Another problem, and this is whenever I was doing a lot of marriage counseling, if the couple were texting when they were upset, I told them not to do that. Don't ever, ever, ever do that. Why? Because, again, if 90%, 80 to 90% of your communication face-to-face is nonverbal, when you read a text, you're hearing their voice in your head as you read it. Just read a text from your spouse. Tell me if I'm wrong. You hear your spouse's voice in your head reading it. Now, based upon your emotion and what you think your spouse is feeling, when you read the text, you're filling in the nonverbal communication in your head. You're filling it, you're reading it in the tone that you think your spouse is sending it. You're reading it in the speed that you think your spouse is sending it. You follow me on this? So now the person may have said, I like your shoes, or I really like your shoes, but how you read it is maybe not the way they intended. See, that's how miscommunication comes into play. So we need to become masters at it. And while in some ways communication is simple, in other ways it's very complex and it's hard because we don't take it with the level of respect that we need to. And I could go on and on and on that, but our time is limited here this morning. Let me just kind of flip through some of the things that can cause problems and hinder communication. You know, one of the things that comes into play when you're looking at men and women is, in general, and there's always exceptions, in general, women tend to talk more than men do. And there's been a lot of different studies that say the number of words in a day that women speak is 2 to 3 times more than what men speak. And so, you know, my job for my career was talking. Well, when I got to the end of the day, I was out of words. I know some of you who know me, it's like, how does Larry run out of words? Well, guess what? Larry does. And I didn't have enough to necessarily meet my wife's needs whenever I got home, because she may have not been around very many people during that day, and she wants to talk, and I'm just all talked out. So, you know, we need to think about, you know, are we communicating enough verbally, especially men, with their spouses? And Neil has a little exchange in here between, you know, on how sometimes it's more than just that. Some people just don't talk a lot, and it doesn't matter what time of day it is. And so here's kind of an exchange between two people. How's your new job going? Oh, fine. Well, are you enjoying it? Yeah. What in particular do you find fulfilling about it? I don't know. Okay, anything else you want to share with me? I guess not. You know, the person is answering the questions, but they're keeping it very short, playing their cards to their vest, not, you know, really describing much. And most people want to have more. So if your spouse wants to have more than just the minimum, and that's your pattern, is to say the minimum, that may be an area that you need to work on to better meet your spouse's needs. But why do people sometimes have issues with communication? Well, there's 4 different ones that Neil talks about in the book that can have an impact. One is, if a person has low self-esteem. Low self-esteem is, you know, described in a lot of different ways, but it can be where a person doesn't have a lot of confidence. They don't believe what they have to say matters. They just don't like themselves that much. They have negative views about themselves. That's going to impact on how they communicate with other people. Another is fear and criticism, or fear of criticism and judgment. If a person has gone through experiences in their life where when they spoke up, they were attacked for their thoughts or they were criticized for their thoughts, guess what they're going to do? They're going to talk less. You know, if every time you touch the stove, you get burned, you avoid the stove. If every time you open up about your emotions, you get made fun of, you get belittled, you get challenged, you're criticized, you're told, you know, those thoughts don't matter, guess what? You're going to be silent. And so if the current situation is not the same as past situations where you were criticized, then you need to look at this situation as different and kind of take a little bit of a risk and test it out. You know, we can learn survival habits from the past, but when that situation changes, we need to change with that. And if you happen to be one of those people that loves debate, that enjoys, sharing your wisdom in such a way that you're trying to change other people's minds all the time, or you use the word why a lot, so people have to explain their opinions or their thoughts, that can be a hindrance to other people communicating with you. You know, you're the one who is the, in that case, you're the one that's the hot stove. And every time somebody gets close to you, they get burnt. The third reason is lack of knowledge about internal happenings. Well, what's he mean by internal happenings? It's being aware of our own feelings, being aware of our own thoughts. It's very easy to become so distracted in today's world that we're really not paying attention to what's happening inside of us. With these little handy phones, with things like YouTube, with things like TikTok, we can go through many hours of life in an extremely passive way. And where if we didn't have those things, we may spend more time kind of thinking about ourselves and thinking about how we're, what we believe about certain things or how we feel about certain things, the emotional experience that's tied to what we believe about things. Knowledge about internal happenings, sometimes we may be in a habit of describing something as one emotion when it's really something different. What I found is that people will describe themselves as feeling guilty when something goes wrong. And guilt implies you have done something wrong. And you may not have. But the real emotion that a person should have been experiencing is sadness, but they're mislabeling it. And when you mislabel something, you have a different view about it. And so these kind of internal things, if a person struggles with those or just ignores them, that can have a big impact on, how we communicate. So in the last couple of minutes, I just wanted to run here in this chapter on different ways to help improve your communication immediately. Because again, communication skills are good and we need to practice those. And the more you practice them, the better you can get at those. But we also sometimes need to see what's something that I can do that can give a more immediate result. And so here's five things that Neil identifies. And so the first one is the next time you see your spouse, ask how her or his day is going, and then really focus on the answer. When we are in conversation with someone, especially if there's more emotion to it, we often only hear the first part of the person's sentence to us, and then we start formulating what our response is going to be. And we miss the majority of the sentence. So what this is saying is, take the initiative when you see your spouse and ask, how's your day going? And then listen to it. Listen to the entire answer. It's not about you formulating what you're going to say about your day. Listen to your spouse. Pay attention to it. Digest it. And then ask a follow-up question or two or three. That's demonstrating that you're really caring about what their day has been. So that's one simple thing you can do. How's your day going? Oh, wow. Oh, that sounds like that was a challenge. Was that easy to do or not? Oh, wow. That's pretty exciting. I'm glad that you had that, got that feedback. That's really good. Making positive comments, not about what you're thinking about yourself, but what you're hearing them say. It's called active listening. That can be an entire podcast in and of itself. Okay, number two, when you get together in the evening after a tiring day, turn off the television, put life on pause, and take some time to refresh your relationship. So what this is really saying is take time every day to touch base. A lot of couples spend little time around each other during the day because we have two income families. They both have jobs. It's not like a farm family used to be on a farmstead or a homestead where you worked with your spouse throughout the day and you talked with them throughout the day. So what we need to do is have time to touch base. And so, having time after supper where you sit down with maybe a piece of dessert or, some coffee or some tea or some other hot beverage and just sit and talk together. And some days, for some of you, it may work better at the beginning of the day. Or if your schedules are such where you do it in the middle of the day. But take time every day just to put everything else on pause and focus and have conversation. Number three, send a note or a gift for no particular reason. Just out of the blue, send a little something to your spouse. Maybe it's an email or a text that just is a nice thought for them to focus on. Or you see something at the store and you pick it up. It doesn't have to be expensive. If your spouse likes big red chewing gum, when you're at the gas station next and you're paying for your gas inside, grab a pack of gum that they like or a candy bar. I do that for my wife. She loves Reese's peanut butter cups. And if I'm paying inside, it's not uncommon for me to come out with some Reese's chocolate for her. But that just means that, or the way the other person often interprets that is then, hey, you were thinking about me. Number four, find a way to get communication flowing. Communication, if you're doing it effectively, it may not take very long to get information out, necessary information accurately out. But there's also the flow of going back and forth with communication that allows for greater intimacy, where you're talking not about per se what the activities of the day are, but what you're thinking, what you're feeling, talking about things that you normally don't. This is where, going on a walk, getting out of your regular area. If you spend a lot of time around the house, get out of the house. Go for a walk. Go for a car ride. Go get a banana split at a local custard stand. Doing something where you have time, it's something enjoyable, you don't have the typical distractions, you can talk about things that lead to more intimacy. And finally, number five, if there's a crisis for either one of you, make sure you move right in on it. When there's a crisis and communication needs to take place, don't put it off. Jump in there. And the more you're doing the other four skills and building up the intimacy, it makes it easier to handle crises together. All right. There's a lot of good stuff on communication. I probably ought to do a few others. Topics, separate from this book on communication. But hopefully you found this stuff good and you're interested in the book and maybe even ordered it. So anyway, you guys take care. We'll catch you next time for the next secret right here with a cup of coffee. Take care. Bye-bye.